This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hi, I'm Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Coloradoan, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Yeah, it's time. First edition of Keeling Me Softly of 2026 with the Denver Post's Sean Keeler. Two key articles I want to discuss. Sean, my friend, Happy New Year, first and foremost.
Hey, Happy New Year Pearl Harbor Day, whatever we're on, to you, my friend.
Yeah, man, it's amazing how the holidays just kind of, they just kind of blasted by us, and here we are, already on to the new year.
I'll talk to you Valentine's Day. Bye.
Yeah, it'll be here before you know it, man. It'll be here before you know it. First off, Sean, man, college sports is just freaking weird.
It's just a quiet to the year.
Contracts, non-contracts, NIL, lawsuits, transfer portal, lawsuits, coaches that led their teams to the playoffs but don't coach them in the playoffs, and LSU gives permission for coordinators to stay on said playoff team. I don't know anymore, but you had a fascinating story the other day in the Denver Post. You caught up with a pretty significant donor for the Colorado Buffaloes program, and I thought that
couple
was a fascinating.
Yeah, a couple of them. Yeah.
Just reading through this, and it's something we've talked about a lot on the show, is donor fatigue, and from your article, certainly kind of sounds like that's where we're headed.
Yeah, we're there. And it's not just a CU thing. And, you know, again, you're busting. Oh, he's actually a Dion.
I know, yeah. No, it was all,
he doesn't like my man, Fernando. Fernando's fine. He's fine. And he could be good, really good at this. No one said a bad word about Fernando. Hey, Fernando made New Mexico relevant. That's a pretty good thing. That should be the lead in your cover letter. You know, see that guy in the funky, see that New Mexico football team you're actually watching? Yeah, I helped make that happen.
Yeah.
To the point, yeah, I talked about this with somebody else the other day. We've lived through the housing bubble. We've lived through the tech bubble in the Y2K. If you're an old fart like me, I can say fart on FCC.
Oh, yeah.
Can
I?
Old person. Sorry, like me. We've got a college sports bubble that now we're just starting to really see. And again, we talked about this. You can't just, when you add a major line item to, it's just math. You add a line item to a budget, you've got to pay for that line item. And now you are paying for players. And CU, among other people, are looking at this $20 to $21 million and going, oh, this is not fun. And keeping track of who gets Ed, who doesn't, he's not fun. But that's reality. I mean, this is the semi-pro world in which we're jumping into. And I think donors, especially, what's fascinating is it becomes a bit generational, to be honest. And you and I being kind of closer to the middle there, so well, you're young and sexy and I'm not. It's kind of fascinating to me because I think you have a lot of particularly donors of a certain, certainly well-accomplished donors, as the gentleman I talked to, but who remember the game as it was, so to speak, and they really, really don't like where this is, because it feels like there's a lot of young kids who are just taking the money and running, and they're right. They're absolutely right, but that's not to say the way before it was any good, too. It's just that it swung so hard the other way, and until we could figure out a way to get some kind of middle ground, and I suggested multi-year contracts or obligations, wherever you want to put it, which some of these NIL contracts have, and then it's the argument, then becomes the argument of employees versus scholarships, and that's somewhere the colleges don't want to go. But you know what? In order to get some sanity to this, it's probably the only way you can go.
100%.
I'm jumping to Wes Keeler. Can we, your 5-minute answer. So are we eventually staring at, we're going to have to designate student athletes as employees? Yes, we're going to have, and we think we've talked about this. You're going to have to, and colleges absolutely do not want to deal with the union and a labor force and treat these guys like a labor force, but they're already there. They are that. I think Coach Prime and I would even agree on that. I think that this looks a lot like the beginnings of unionization of a workforce.
Sean Keeler joining us, Denver Post. Sean, I'm assuming these guys, these people you're talking to, we're talking billionaires, right?
They're not billionaires.
Millionaires.
I looked for billionaires on Monday. That was my point. I literally took some folks there before I started. I'm like, I walked to a fairly prominent CU personality and said, who's the richest guy in the room? And he laughed and goes, well, until Dion gets here. I said, no, who's not a coach? And he knew what I meant. But he's like, well, I don't know how wealthy A, B, and C are, but you know they might talk to you at least. Because that's where this game is. The Buffs and the Rams and UNC, whomever, all these colleges need, you know, to be less, there's probably a less uncouth way of putting it. They need these sugar daddies. You need that Boone Pickens. You need that Cody Campbell at Texas Tech. It feels like they got 50 of them. You have to have, it's not about, I wrote this at the end of last year. You know, CU was ahead of the curve when they hired a celebrity coach. They were really ahead of that. Well, that lasted about 18 months. and now it's about celebrity donors. Like, the donors are the stars of this thing now. And I know who CU's star donors are, and they're not Cody Campbell right now. And maybe they can turn that around and make that happen, but they just don't have that. And a lot of schools don't, and that's why so many programs, including Ohio State, as a lead example, are in the red. I mean, this isn't just a Buffs thing. This isn't just a Dion or Fernando Lobo thing. This is an everybody thing. And it's hard for everybody to find that guy, but I think it's been particularly challenging because your coach is still well compensated in the case of Sanders here, and because you had so much portal turnover that people justifiably certainly don't like that. And yeah, that's where you get the donor fatigue. And you're not just getting it here, though. I think you're getting a lot of that everywhere.
Sean, I have a question, because I've always wanted to sit down with these donors, millionaires, billionaires, whatever, maybe just to be friends with them and see what happens.
Sure. Exactly.
But I just want to ask the question, like, why do they donate so much money? What do they get out of it? What do these billionaires, millionaires get out of doing this on a yearly basis?
Well, I think a lot of it's tax deductible. I mean, because you're giving to education in theory. It's the old line that, and I've said that you and I have known each other years. I probably said it right when I guess. It's one of the better ones for an old investigative reporter I used to work with who covered tons of college sports, and that's been a lot of my background, as you know, in the Big 12 and the Big 10. And he said, you know, everything is so amorphous when you're covering education and sports and education, and there's so much gray area. There's so much stuff they can hide behind for the case of protection. And it's why Dion likes it, frankly, because you can hide behind dang near anything. You can find ways to put up walls wherever you want. It's one of the last great dictatorships in this country of ours. I say that in this time of year, in this time in our world history, but that was kind of a running joke where that used to be funny. But this old reporter said to me, he said, you know, here's what it's like covering college sports when the you-know-what hits the fan. When I try to figure out, you know, why someone's fired or why someone left, they throw up a smokescreen and say, when you tell them a question, you have an issue with education, they say it's about business. And when you tell them you have an issue with how they do business, they say it's about education. So why do they give? You can write that off, for one. And in some cases, and certainly was the case traditionally, it was about status. It was, you know, you're buying your girlfriend the prettiest jewelry or the prettiest car and whatever else. And in the case of those Texas oil guys, it still is. But then it's also about the war games. It's about building that chest and the buildup on the arms race, as they called it, because these were nonprofits. It was. The Daily, it wasn't the Daily Show. No, John Oliver. You can find this on YouTube, the bit with Ed O'Bannon, because student athletes getting paid was something that needed to happen. Again, don't get me wrong. I think it's not that they're getting paid. Not that they're getting paid. It's sort of who's getting paid, and the fact that the portal, the payments combined with the portal, has created this just jumping out of boxes of everybody, box of frogs, jump. And it's the rate of people who are coming and going, not just here. Again, CU is ahead of that curve. It's now everywhere, and it's just insane. But the money stuff is crazy, because they couldn't pay players and had to be a nonprofit. As far as the government was concerned, they said, it was like the old NCAA 09 basketball video game. It was a great sketch. It's still on YouTube. It said, you go to athletic director mode. Can't pay the players, but you're going to have to spend these billions of dollars somehow. Build a rocket ship pad. Build a rocket ship pad for your rocket ship pad. Like, it was just absurd stuff. And done in that sort of EA Sports kind of animation, which was brilliant. And there's some NC-17 language in there too for coach mode. So yeah, it's always been this kind of sheltered thing, but now that we've sort of taken that money under the table above board, now these guys are showing off. And I think CU needs a Cody Campbell, as do the Rams, to kind of show off and say, this is mine, this is my program now, and I'm going to tell you on record I'm the one who's calling the shots. Because behind the scenes, these are the guys who pay the buyouts and pay for the coaches to come, and pay for players' mommies and daddies to get there, see them play and what have you. They've always had that power, but now they can kind of stand up and legally say, I do have that now. I think at CU, what's particularly interesting about that is that I don't think any booster has more power than Deion Sanders. I don't think no one has more power in Boulder than Deion Sanders. No one. Not the mayor, not Jared Polis, not whoever lives around there. Not anybody has more power than him. And that's why he's there, right? Right? And not at Auburn, not at Texas A&M. He wanted a place where he could shape and control and keep away and filter and protect and spin and get what he wanted, which he did. But when you do that, back to your point, at some point, some mega booster says, I would like you to fire Warren Sapp. What do you think he's going to say to that booster?
Mm-hmm.
How do you think that's going to go?
Yeah.
And do you think Fernando Lobo can have that conversation with him? Again, I say that as an example. I am not advocating fire Warren Sapp. I'm just saying, when you have to tell him that his friends are not good enough at this, if that happens, can someone stand up and do that? There is no one that can do that, and he will leave and will say to you, good luck.
Yeah.
Good luck to you.
Yeah, no, I see it.
They're scared witless of that. They are frightened of Deion Sanders, and no booster can tell Deion what to do. I think that's a reality that is more unique to CU than a lot of other places. In that sense, Fernando has his work cut out for him.
Yeah.
That's different than a lot of places, because that ecosystem has changed financially for the better on some levels, and yet not, given the $27 million deficit. I don't envy Mr. Lobo in that regard. It's a tricky, fascinating time that he's walking into, and he's kind of jumping into the fire without a parachute, and you wish him well.
Sean, did you say ecosystem or ego system surrounding?
It's both. It's both.
I had to go there. Had to do it.
CU is a massively unique place right now.
Yeah.
And I think that probably, to be frank, Lovell's a very young guy. He's very accomplished. He's worked for pretty much every A-list P4 program you can think of, your Florida, Ohio State, your Texas. He's got the bona fides. But I think a lot of veteran administrators would not touch where CU is right now, the 10-foot pole, right? They wouldn't. They just wouldn't. They wouldn't. They couldn't get paid enough, and they can't tell Deion what to do. Nobody can.
Yeah, Sean Keeler joining us at Denver Post. Last one here for you. I enjoyed this one too. Your headline in the Denver Post: this Broncos fan was offered blank check for his AFC playoff tickets. Here's why he passed. Go into that conversation, Sean. This is a fun one as we gear up for the Broncos in the playoffs.
Yeah, I was just trying to think of an interesting way to go at the ticket price conundrum that's going to be hitting us all, especially if you're trying to get some seats off the street for this thing. They are going to be based on a couple of ticket brokers I talked to, and I included one in the piece that's up at DenverPost.com, where it's a $500 get-in price right now. And what I love about that, I don't love, you're not paying for it, so why do you love that? Not only is Broncos versus whomever going to be at least a $500 walk-in price, and Lord help us if it's like the Steeler. I mean, that's a good matchup, but that's a great box office matchup, so those prices are going to go up, as opposed to, say, the Texans, you know, box office
sure.
shrug, or the Jags, who you probably also don't want to see. not only is it that, it's the most – that $500 is as much as all the wild card games the AFC costs to get in combined. Like, that's the kind of ticket price it is. So I just went, this is, I don't envy Broncos country in this regard. So the gentleman in question was a friend of a friend of a friend, and said, hey, you know, this happened to me actually last week. And I said, would you like to tell this story? And he did. Actually, I tried to reach out to the other party in the story. They did not want to talk because the story behind the scenes of the individual who offered the blank check is even funnier than the story of what's actually there in the paper today. But out of respect to them and their privacy, we won't get into that. But it's a funny time, but funny in a good way. These are first world problems when you're complaining about $500 playoff tickets.
Well, it's crazy, though. I mean, you were feeling that Broncos country fever right now, and, you know, it's exciting. You know, they're skipping the weekend. They've already made it past the first round. So it's Broncos mania is kind of running rampant here in the state of Colorado.
Yeah, and they're in good shape. I think not getting Baltimore potentially is a good thing. And that was a heck of a game, by the way, Sunday night. That was the start of the playoffs to me. That was a play-in game. Bang, bang, here we go. I don't like this Broncos safety unit where it is right now having to tackle Derrick Henry for 3 hours.
Yeah,
so
I'm glad for that.
Yeah, I'm glad too. I think that's probably a good thing. But there are some tricky – everybody who's coming is good. Every matchup has a bit of tricky to it, and we will see. Although I think the least tricky of those, I know that's been some debate on X Twitter right now, is – what's the most favorable matchup? I still think it's the Steelers. I know old man Rodgers is playing well, and it's a pretty good offensive line, but I think they're the least scary of anybody that would be coming in here.
I think, yeah, and I think that pass rush for Denver would be able to get to old man Rodgers. And that is a good offensive line, though. The Chargers scare me. The Chargers scare me, Sean. That's the team.
Yeah, and the Texans with their vengeance. You can find something where you go, with every one of
everyone.
Them. Everyone.
Jags,
you know,
too.
Them, it was Davis Mills and the Texans down there, because I was down there, and I went, boy, about five weird things. Like, if you played that game again, the Broncos lose it 8 times out of 10, don't they? Like, they just don't, especially if C.J. Stroud plays. Are they going to have 5 goal line stops or whatever it was? I mean, it was 4, obviously. But it felt like there were more. Are they going to play that well at maximum health? Yes, the Texans' O-line isn't as good as the Steelers' offensive line. The Chargers' offensive line clearly isn't as good as what the Steelers have. But they've also got the Broncos' number, and I think we all can agree – the Jags would be interesting, but aren't we all a little worried when we saw that? I'm like, I don't know. Maybe it's a reverse Texans where the Broncos would be like, hey, you embarrassed us. It's our time. And it may eventually be that. To me, they might. The Jags, how weird is that? The Jags are probably the best team in the AFC of how they're playing right now.
Yeah.
Other than the Texans, right?
Hard to disagree with that. Yeah,
8 in a row, but having just seen the recency bias in our own eyes, we're like, "Ooh, I guess the Broncos are the one seed, but the Jags are the team that are coming." And I don't think I've ever said that about Trevor Lawrence when he wasn't in a Clemson uniform. So, yeah, have you mentioned the Bills? You know, it's gonna be the wildest AFC bracket in a long time when you don't have, especially because you don't have Mahomes, a Jackson, a Burrow in it. It's Josh Allen and a bunch of kids. Didn't even mention the MVP.
Sure.
In Drake May. So it's going to be fun. And I think when you have something that wide open, the good news is when there is that much, at least on paper, air quotes, parity, better to have those at home. Better to have that 12th man and better to have that Broncos country, regardless of what they're paying. To get in and make that happen. I certainly know these fans here are ready to do whatever they can to get this thing over the top for at least these 2 games.
John Keeler, Denver Post, great stuff from you. Absolutely on fire, man. We'll look forward to catching up with you next week.
All right, sounds good, brother.
All right, man. John Keeler, Denver Post. I love reading his stuff. I mean, it's just the other one was the donor thing, and then this was about Broncos tickets and how ridiculous they are. It is wild. This one guy he was talking to was like, I'll send you $5,000 for Broncos playoff tickets or a blank check. Was it you, Mike? Was that you? Are you secretly a millionaire over there?
I mean, I'd send a blank check, but it wouldn't have my signature.
Yeah. Yeah, good job. 41 minutes after the hour, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.